I want to get to Ellie Shockley. She's a columnist for the Bismarck Tribune. She's got her doctorate. She's got a lot of different things that I could read off, but most of you know who she is. And she's somebody who does her homework. She does, and she's got some strong opinions about where we're at and where we could be heading here in North Dakota. And quite frankly, it's a mirrored image for the Dakotas. So, Ellie, good to have you back on News and Views.
Thanks for having me.
You know, it's radio, so not a lot of people are going to be able to see the charts that you put up, the graphs. But if you could, I would really appreciate it if you would describe them to folks.
All right. So the graphs are just a visual illustration of a trend that I've been studying. And so I can basically tell you what the trend really is. I think the graph is a useful tool, but it's not required. I've been monitoring COVID deaths in North Dakota for a little while, trying to see what we can learn from studying their patterns. Initially, I did notice, and I published a column this in October, that our summer lull was really real and that it saved a lot of lives. The trajectory of coronavirus deaths in North Dakota really shifted in early June in such a dramatic way in the data that it was like we hit a reset button. And that basically saved hundreds of lives because it really slowed down, you know, what we were doing differently. Our behaviors, our playing outside, which is really safe in the COVID era, made such a huge difference. But we haven't had any disruption since then. So the deaths have been able to accelerate at an exponential rate. And what that means is it takes shorter and shorter amounts of time for the same amount of deaths to accumulate. So it took us several months to get our first 500 deaths, and it's taken us a little over a month to get our next 500 deaths. And so I was graphing that just to communicate those trends to people. It's really alarming that deaths are accelerating, but it's following a really simple mathematical formula in a sense. And so we can brace ourselves to anticipate what's to come. We can also know that our behaviors do make such a difference. So if we want to reduce the deaths to come, we can change our behavior right now, this month, to soften the blow. We're on a scary trajectory where the rate at which we're at, if we keep on it, we'll have 1,400 deaths by Christmas and we'll have 1,500 deaths by the new year.
I was looking at some data. You know, obviously December 7th is a name that, or is a date that everybody looks at in history. And somebody texted in, Ellie, and said, you know what, as bad as Pearl Harbor was yesterday, more people died from COVID-19 yesterday than on Pearl Harbor. And so they made a very valid point for conversation. When you look at these graphs that you made, you know, the one thing that, because we've had an opportunity to speak to this before, you and I, you say behavior adds into this. What do you base that off of, Ellie?
Well, I know that a lot of experts agree that our behavior matters, so I do trust their expertise. But for me, what I found really compelling was the summer lull. It was just such a dramatic disruption. I did consult with Dr. Paul Carson at NDSU to see what did he think what the pattern was about, and he called it. He said that's pretty clear evidence of the summer lull. And we just know that everything changed. Folks were just not indoors in close quarters. There probably wasn't as much COVID fatigue at that moment either. It seems like it started in late May and early June that the behaviors really made such a difference. And we just know that this is a communicable disease in which the primary method of people catching it is actually breathing in each other's breath. We know that much now. We didn't know clearly what was going on several months ago. It's almost a little funny that we spent so much time sanitizing everything, but when really it was what we were breathing in that was putting folks at risk. We do know enough information at this point to know that if we can avoid each other's breath up close, we'll make a big difference. And so going to a bar like it's just any other time in our lives is not going to cut it if we would like to kill fewer of our neighbors.
So as I look at all of this and knowing, aside from everything else, knowing the time of year that we're coming up to, we can talk about what a great winter it's been so far, but it's going to get worse. You and I both know that, you know, and they're talking about the vaccine being administered to key individuals. Essential is the word I'm supposed to use starting this week, but they're talking about it being to you know, the average Joe or Jane coming out in and having them hopefully vaccinated by spring or in the spring. So the trend that I'm seeing here, let me just kind of back up. So you've got people indoors, you've got close confinement, you've got all of these things. Is this going to stay at the level it's going to stay at the point we're at now? Meaning that look, it's gone too far to turn this thing around.
I think that it's never too late to turn it around to a degree. Unfortunately, because even if we all behaved better starting today, the last 2 weeks have done what they're done. What they've done, we've done what we've done over the last 2 weeks, and that's gonna those consequences will have to unravel as they will. I think that folks just need to understand that we don't need to be mingling households that aren't already mingling. I know that it's hard, but I feel like now that we know we're in the home stretch, now that we know a vaccine is getting to key communities now and over the next several months can come to the rest of us, we need to use that knowledge to really dig deep to fight COVID fatigue and really try hard to be compliant with safety measures. And I think that yes, some of the devastation is inevitable because we have that kind of 2 week window of being able to walk some, you know, change a trend. But that is enough time to make the early 2021 not as devastating. I'm super pumped about the vaccine news. I'm so excited. Our nursing home residents are absolutely the ones dying the most. And so this vaccine should really help blunt some of that risk. But we've got to just know 2021 is when life will get better at some point, so we need to dig deep and stick to some safe behaviors.
So, Ellie, what do you say to those individuals out there who say, look, Minnesota had strict requirements, North Dakota and South Dakota very much open, and yet look at Minnesota's numbers climb. What do you say to those individuals who say that, you know, staying in, wearing masks, it's not proven to work because look what's happening in Minnesota?
I'd say that we do have to disentangle mandates from actual behavior. You can have a mandate or not, and people can behave safely or not. And while a mandate is a powerful signal from leaders that it's time to get really safe and be really responsible, it's not the same thing as compliance. And so it's really about compliance with what would be safe behavior. And, you know, people, humans are complicated and they, you know, they follow rules sometimes, not others. Humans tend to follow norms more. So I think more powerful than any actual rules is when the norm is to care about our community, to care about each other, and to think it's just worth it to suffer the inconvenience of an obnoxious or dorky mask to save lives. And so I really want to bolster the norm that we owe each other something, that it isn't each man and woman and child for themselves, but that, and I like to think about the fact that one day I'll be in my 70s, and if there's a pandemic, I would sure like people to assign some value to my life. So I'm just all about encouraging a norm of feeling connected to other people and feeling that their lives matter and understanding we have a direct role to play, truly, if we choose to, in saving lives.
Ellie Shockley, PhD, passionate about state and local politics in North Dakota, writer, education researcher, quantitative social scientist, and political psychologist, all in the same breath. Ellie, let me ask you one more thing in relation to where we're at in North Dakota, because, you know, Cass County is one of the most populated counties, period. There's a lot of people in Fargo. But when you get to Western North Dakota, it's my understanding that there's a lot less compliance. And so when I throw out the point that, hey, Bismarck, Minot, some of the things that happened there, they look at me and they say, hey, you know, it ain't going so well in Cass County where there's been a mask mandate in Fargo for quite a while. And so what's the attitude of Western North Dakota? That's where you live. What are you seeing around Bismarck when you go to the market or when you drive around?
I see a lot of mixed levels of compliance. There are definitely some people who don't comply at all. You know, unfortunately, if I'm being really honest, I think that the Trump administration really missed an opportunity to normalize taking the virus seriously. And I think it's a very normal psychological process to look to one's leaders that one identifies with, and generally those leaders in one's own political party, to, you know, for the signal of what are the issues of the day. And so for a lot of people who are Republicans and or Trump supporters, they follow the signaling from that administration. And that administration's signaling was inconsistent, often downplaying the virus, sometimes taking it seriously, not consistent about messaging that masks are important. And these are the consequences. People are just, you know, what was a trusted source to them didn't have a strong, firm, consistent message. And unfortunately, they're taking the signaling from that. And these are just really normal processes. Like, this is how humans are. And so unfortunately, I see a lot of people not taking it seriously around me, because the leaders that they counted on, you know, didn't convince them that it was a serious issue.
Ellie, where do people find this work we're talking about? Where do they find your work?
Well, a hub of much of my work is my website, which is ellieshockley.com. I'll spell that out, ELLIESHOCKLEY.com.
Okay. We'll call again, Ellie. Great work. Hey, makes the mind think, so really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Yep.